no Sikhs are disbelievers at all, but it means they are deviants from the right path. And they are in the hellfire. And this statement does not mean in the day of judgment they are not subject to the fire. So again we say, to be recorded, those people does not mean they are disbelievers. They are believers, because we say my nation. However, those people, they are subject to the punishment of Allah due to their deviation. Some of them might be forgiven, and some of them might be subjected to the punishment. That is the judgment of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But for you and me, when we are on this earth, we have to ascertain and take every possible step for us to be according to the understanding of the Rashid predecessor. To understand that religion according to As-Salaful Salih, without any deviation from that. And understanding this religion according to As-Salaful Salih is not something that mustahab, it's not something that is preferable. You know, when you come to pray Zuhr, you say it's mustahab, it's preferable for you to pray to Rak'ah before Zuhr. After you fast Ramadan, it's preferable for you to fast the 6 days of Shawwal. But if you want, you can do without. But understanding this religion according to the understanding of the righteous predecessor is not something preferable, something mandatory upon every single one of us. We have no way otherwise. If we do not do that, we could be in the deviant sect. So it's not something that is voluntarily, something that is preferable, but by Allah, it's something that is mandatory upon every one of us. And I'll tell you the seriousness of that. So imagine you have a doctor, and somebody comes for your doctor to marry her, and he's Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "If man atakum man tardun dinahu wa khuluquhu fajawwazuhu." If somebody comes to you that you are happy with his religion and with his mannerism, then marry your daughter after him. This person comes to you and he says, "I'm a Muslim." And you look at him, he's a Muslim. Is that sufficient for you to marry him off? Or you're going to tell him, what type of Islam are you on? Are you Shia or Sunni first of all? Are you going to ask this question or not? Or you're going to just marry your daughter after somebody might be Shia? And cursing Abu Bakr, Umar, saying Aisha is adulterous and so on and so forth. Or are you going to marry somebody who says you can marry the Jawaj al-Mut'a? He can just marry off so many women. Are you going to let that, or are you going to question if it is Shia or Sunnah first of all? By Allah I'm asking you, are you going to question him or not? Huh? You're going to let give him even if it is Shia? So that is your opinion. You're going to marry off your daughter to somebody that might take her in the house. Practicing what? Practicing what? How is he practicing Islam? According to the Prophet or according to other things? We do not live in an ambiguous term. Are you going to marry your daughter off to somebody who might be killing you?
We are
nice. Who are you going to pick? You're going to pick somebody who you know his religion, or just say, I'm just a Muslim off the street. You don't know if he is. Are you aware of how many sects in Islam there is? Are you marrying somebody who is saying, if you do a major sin, you are a disbeliever, I will not be with you? There's people who say that. If they see a person drinking alcohol, they say, you are a disbeliever, you're in the hellfire. You're not a Muslim. Are you going to marry your daughter after somebody like that? Are you?
Well, it's not my
answer. Well, I'm not picking on you, but you do not have an answer. But this is, we have to be aware of the reality of how many texts in Islam. Are you going to marry somebody that they have what is called Zawaj al-Mut'a? You know what Zawaj al-Mut'a is? He goes, no, he said, I'm going to marry you for 3 hours, I gave you $5, and after that, we are divorced, automatically. So it says zina. I go to lay your daughter after somebody who does this kind of practice, by Allah I'm asking you. And then, when somebody says I'm a Muslim, it's not suspicious now, you have to know what type of Islam. Because at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when people said we are Muslim, there was one time. What type? One type of Islam only. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was going to Hajj, he saw a group of people who said, "Who you are?" They said, "I'm Muslim." "Who you are?" He said, "I am the Prophet." Came close. But now there was one type of Muslim. But now there is not one type of Muslim. This is the reality. There's Muslims who say there was a prophet, there is a prophet that came after the prophet. I was going to marry afterwards after to somebody who says there's a prophet that came after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to marry after your daughter who says, if I see your daughter doing anything, that means she's a disbeliever. No. Then, when you ask him who you are, he says, I'm Muslim, then alhamdulillah. But what type of Islam? The first thing is going to have the split. Ji'a sunnah. He says, I'm sunnah, alhamdulillah, you are sunnah. But now this sunnah only established that you are not Shia. But in the sunnah, there's many groups. There's the Sufi, and there's the this, and that, and the other, and there's many groups. Are you from those who think
innovation,
those people who say different groups, so you have to know what type of Sunni you are. Are you the type of Sunni that goes around the grave and write something on the grave or tie something around the grave and say, oh Allah, I ask you by whoever buried in that grave to relieve my calamity? Are you from the person who goes to the Sunni who claims he's a Sunni and revolve or rotate around the grave? Are you from the type of people who shed the light in it and stay in the light and just make some kind of dance in the middle of the night? You have to know what type of Muslim you are, what type of sunnah. So what type of sunnah you are? He said, well, I am from Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We're coming close. Alhamdulillah. Now we are. But now Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, everybody, the different groups they are claiming from Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Al-Ash'ari says from Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Al-Maturidi says an Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah used to refer to one thing, but now it refers to more. So what really you are, he says, no, I am Salafi. What does it mean you are Salafi? He said, I'm Muslim, but I understand this religion according to the understanding of the righteous predecessor, without any deviation. But by making that claim, I'm not saying I'm an angel, I'm saying I'm human. I try to strive to understand this religion according to the understanding of the righteous predecessor, yet I am a human. I make a lot of sins. May Allah forgive me. But this is what I try to do. So I'm asking, where did you come up with this Salafi word? Where does it come? Give us a hadith that says something like that. Abshir. Abshir. In the hadith of Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ رَحْمَةَ أُمَّةِ قَبَضَ نَبِيَّهَا قَبْلَهَا فَجَعَلَهُ فَرْقًا وَسَلَفًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهَا. Abshir. If Allah wants to mercy a nation, He would take the Prophet before this nation, before while the nation is still going. Then the Prophet will be the example of that nation. This is what Salafan means, the example of that nation. So when we say that, say alhamdulillah, then we are on the same page. How much are you going to pay for a dowry? To add it. So when we want to live, we have to live on the truth. We have to live on the haqq. We have to live on the haqq. And follow the haqq. And live the haqq. And identify the haqq. And establish the haqq. And call to that haqq. Call to the haqq. So the ayah says after that, I call to Allah with knowledge, I do that and those who follow me, and then it says, Subhanallah.
So glory be to Allah. What is the purpose to say glory be to Allah in this text? Because Allah is glorified to be called up to without any knowledge. You cannot go to Allah without any knowledge. Those who go to Allah without any knowledge, they are making a big mistake, to say the least. Because glory to be Allah, if you have to go to Him, you have to go to Him with knowledge. And then it means, وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and I'm not of those who are mushrikeen. Associates, those who take part with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second hadith, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لما بعث معاذا إلى اليمن قال له إنك تأتي قوما من أهل الكتاب فليكن أول أو أول على هذا المعنى الأول إذا كانت استئنافية أو غير ذلك فليكن أول ما تدعوهم إليه شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه, who is معاذ بن جبل؟ معاذ بن جبل وما أدراك ما معاذ بن جبل. معاذ بن جبل أعلم أمتي بالحلال والحرام كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. معاذ بن جبل the one who knows best about حلال and حرام is معاذ بن جبل. So he sent him to Yemen. One person. Now he sends groups of people after groups of people and they go on 3 days and 20 days and 30 days and God knows how many days and there's nothing coming out of it because they're not supported with knowledge. But Mu'adh ibn Jabal, أعلم أمتي بالحلال والحرام قال رسول الله ومعاذ بن جبل. So he sent him to Yemen as a caller to Allah, a judge, a ruler. He sent him to Mu'adh ibn Jabal and he told him, and listen to what he told him, you're going to come to the people from the book. Why he told him that? To prepare himself. This is part of being aware of who you are dealing with. You're going to go from the people of the book, they're not pagan. They have some information about prophets before you. They have some information from the sky. They know something. They have some connection with the truth. So be prepared. And they must bring forth to you some argument. So you have to be prepared. This is why the Prophet ﷺ told them, you're going to go from the people of the book. So be prepared. Because in Yemen at that time, most of the people were Jews and Christians. So the first thing called them to it, what? To the statement of La ilaha illallah. And in another narration, فَدْعُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يُوَحِّدُ اللَّهِ, that Allah is one. So what is the first thing that we have to call the people to? At-tawheed. We do not call the people to other than that. This is the foundation of the Islam. When you want to call the people, the first thing you call the people to, tawheed. Even that, and this applies today. What we are doing now? We are calling to tawheed. Because tawheed is something that is learned. Not something that you cannot just develop it all on your own. Something that we have to learn and understand and comprehend. This is why the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to us the Prophet to teach us, to enlighten us, educate us, purify us from shirk. So when we go to the people who are doing acts of shirk, and I gave you an example about an act of shirk. Didn't I give you an example last time about those people who say, والنبي, those people who say, وحياتك, وحياتي, وحيات أبو. Did I give you an example of that lesson? There's a lot of people who make oath by the Prophet. By the Prophet. You cannot make an oath by the Prophet. You cannot make oath by your father and your mother and your cousin and your honor. You only can make oath by Allah. And the Prophet said, whoever makes an oath by other than Allah, he committed an act of shirk. So therefore, when we are calling the people, we have to educate them in Tawheed. Even if people say that in their tongue without any glorification behind it. Because the Prophet, somebody came to the Prophet and he told him, if Allah will and you will. And the Prophet spoke to him like this. He told him, did you make me a partner to Allah? Say, if Allah will, and then if you will. The will of the Prophet ﷺ is subordinate to the will of Allah. And the Prophet, that person, that companion, did not intend any shirk, did not intend to make shirk, he just said something in his tongue. But the Prophet, he came to us to also teach us how to speak. To teach us how to speak. So, the Prophet ﷺ sent Mu'ad ibn Jabal to Al-Yaman to call the people to the statement of Al-Tawheed, to call the people to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that shows us the importance of Al-Tawheed. The third ayat that in here, or the continuation of this hadith, after you call them to the Tawheed, فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ لِذَاكَ فَأَعْلِمْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ. If they answer you, respond to you when you call them to Tawheed, then you tell them that Allah has ordained upon them 5 daily prayers. So you start, when we are calling people, we start with the most important first, and then we go to the second in importance. Because a prayer without Tawheed cannot be valid. Tawheed is the essence, the foundation that we build upon it everything. And then it says, فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ لِذَاكَ فَأَعْلِمْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ فِي عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. If they answer you to establish the prayer, then tell them that Allah ordained upon them the zakat. That zakat will be taken from the rich and given to the poor. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوكَ لِذَاكَ فَإِيَّاكَ وَكَرَائِمَ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. If they respond to you to that, be careful not to take the best of their wealth. Take from the midmast. Do not take the best, let go of the best and let go of the worst. And take from something that in the middle. وَاتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. And be careful from the supplication that comes out of the one who's been transgressed against. Because verily, his supplication, there is no barrier between it and Allah Azza wa Jalla. That teaches us how careful we should be not to transgress against anyone. Because even that one, if he was a sinner, if he makes a dua, his dua will be accepted. Directly it will go with dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And even in the one hadith it says, اتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ وَلَوْ مِنْ كَافِرٍ فَإِنَّ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. Be afraid, be careful from the call, the dua that comes from the one who is transgressed against. Can we say transgressee or oppressed? The one who is oppressed, even if he was a disbeliever, because his call goes directly to Allah Azza wa Jalla. When we make dua, usually our dua might be answered. But maybe sometimes there are impeders might come in the way to answer our dua. As the Prophet ﷺ said, a man will eat from a haram source, drink from a haram source, and live off of a haram source, and he makes dua to Allah. How can Allah answer to such a person? If a person makes a dua for somebody to harm another person, this dua cannot be accepted.
But the dua of the oppressed, even though he eats from a haram source and drinks from the haram source, whatever he does, because he is oppressed, his dua will be answered. That's what it means. There is no hijab, there is no barrier between him and Allah Azza wa Jal when he makes dua. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's telling Mu'adh ibn Jabal to be careful not to oppress anyone. And we have to be careful not to oppress anyone. Anyone. Believers or disbelievers. A lot of people, they take the attitude, we can do anything to those disbelievers. Steal their money, not pay the bills, do whatever they want because they are disbelievers. This is transgression. Where are you with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَدِّ الْأَمَانَ إِلَى مَنْ اِسْتَمَنَكْ وَلَا تَخُلْ مَنْ خَانَكْ. Give whatever people trust you to it, give it back to them. And if somebody betray you, do not betray him. This is the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts to his teaching. So this hadith also shows the importance of calling to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Al-Yaman, he sent him to call the people to the book of to Shahadat an la ilaha illallah. If they accept that, we will move on to more things. I think we're not gonna have time to finish this chapter. We stop at this point, and if we have any questions, we try to answer them over the next 10 to 15 minutes, inshallah.
Going back to that first question, let me ask you, what types of, we talk about different types of sex, so type of sex, say, sunnah, shunnah, so we talk about different types of sunnah. What? First of all, well, the question is, what are we considering? I mean, I'm assuming that there's only just one proper, only one truth. And you're talking about
There is only one truth. But the people went into various ways to identify the truth. And a lot of people did not identify the truth. So we have in Islam the two major groups in Islam, the Sunnah and the Shia. Sunnah, it means, when you say Sunnah, it means he is not Shia. And when you say Shia, it means he is not Sunnah. But then the Shia themselves, there are many groups. There is Ismaili, Isna Ashari, Ja'fari, Zaydi, and there are various groups. The Shia themselves, various groups, some of them better than others, and some of them they're outside Islam altogether. Also Sunnah, there are various groups. But the Sunnah as a group, I said the Sunnah contains of it different sects. But all the sects of the Sunnah, they are closer to the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam than the Shia. But then the sects of the Sunnah, they have different subgroups. The group that is on the truth, which they say we want to understand this religion according to the understanding of Prophet Muhammad first. And that nobody says otherwise, everybody says that. But then they put another condition upon that. To make sure that you are understanding your religion according to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has to be in coherence with the practice of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because indeed, they are the one who understood this religion and implemented while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was watching them, and he died and he was asleep with them. So what more testimony you need to verify that they were indeed on the truth? So we are considered from the Sunnah, from the Salafi understanding of this religion. Yes?
Somebody asked me what you what the religion is, are you a Sunni
Salafi? Yes, a Muslim Salafi, don't be afraid. Yes? Alhamdulillah. If somebody asks you, are Muslim, say yes. You don't have to go into detail. Say, well, what type of Muslim say, I follow the Salaf. I follow the righteous predecessor.
finish. To identify what type of understanding in this religion that you are following.
You mentioned that it takes the whole to Allah. For example, if someone says no to any possible to the Quran.
If the Quran is an attribute of Allah, the speech of Allah. So it is not shirk to make an oath by the Quran. Just like it's not shirk to make the oath by the mercy of Allah, by the glory of Allah. The book of Allah is his attribute, his speech. So you can swear by the book of Allah, say, by the book of Allah, by the mercy of Allah, by the glory of Allah. Because those are the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Jazakallah, a very good question.
مثلا
وعزة الله وكتاب الله ورحمة الله نعم كتاب الله هو من صفات الله سبحانه وتعالى والقسم بصفات الله هو قسم بالله عز وجل بعض العلماء هذا حالة ثانية تختلف عن هذه الحالة this type of marriage when you are marrying they say marrying with the intention of divorce this is what you are referring to This marriage with the intention of divorce is not the marriage of enjoyment. Because all the conditions for the true marriage is in it. And this intention could change. If this person marries this woman, even though he's intending to stay with her for a few months, he can change his intention and stay with her. But usually, the customary practice when people marry, they are marrying for this marriage to last. Therefore, him hiding his intention is ghush. Ghush. What is ghush in Arabic? Cheating. Khiyana. Tiba'a. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man ghashana, laysa. So he will be doing haram by misleading her. Putting her under the impression that he's going to marry her for a marriage that he does not have no intention to divorce her but he might every marriage you are when you are married you are taking a chance that a divorce might take place there is nothing saying this marriage is forever but you do not have this intention before you marry that I'm gonna marry her for few years and divorce her because if you communicate to her this intention chances are she's gonna say no So this type of marriage, even though the marriage contract in of itself is correct, but it has in it ghush, khida', misleading, deception. Therefore he will be simple for the deception that he has done.
Is not here. It's assuming that the person has not seen the truth and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given him the blessings to understand. And is that assuming, let's say, a person died when he was 15 and he had never been to Allah.
That was a different category. When people die and they never had the opportunity to be exposed to the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا كُنَّ مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا We're not going to punish the people until we send a message. And this message could be the messenger by his person or the message of the messenger. That's for example, You and I did not receive the message, the messenger, but we received the message. So if the people, some people did not receive the messenger or the message, and they died without being exposed to the truth, there was a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will force that of people. One of them, he will say, I will never receive the message. And one of them say, I was dumb in life, I did not know anything. And the third one will say, I died when I was young, I did not understand anything. And this one will say, I did not receive any message. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the covenant of them to obey Him, and they will give the covenant. Then they will be ordained to step into the fire. This is the command. If they do step into the fire, it will be paradise. And if they refuse, they will be from the people of the hellfire. So to answer your question, those who were not given the opportunity to see the truth in this life, on the day of judgment, Allah will give them a test. If they pass it, they will go to paradise. If they fail it and refuse it, they will go to the hellfire. We seek refuge in Allah from the hellfire. وهذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك